Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We haven't met. My name is Mike. I've been part of our pastoral team now for a while, and it's good to be able to share with you on how God came home. Last week, we had a chance to hear from Leanne, which was really cool to hear the introduction of this series. She shared a little bit about home and homesick, and that everybody in their own way is searching for God. That God's presence, which was once housed in a tent or in a tabernacle, is now among us, now with us. And that Jesus came to show us who he is and to identify with us and also to bring us home as well. So we're going to dig in a little bit more into this verse, John 1, 14 and verse 16. It'll be on the screen behind me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt or made his home among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Some versions say unfailing love and faithfulness. And verse 16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So I'm not the type of person to get starstruck. With all the Christmas Hallmark movies filmed around here, I don't know if you get starstruck for the three actors that play in all the movies, but I'm not the type of person to seek out celebrities and to go, try to get a picture with them. I try and play it cool. There was this one time, though, Chris and I were in Calgary Airport, and we're waiting for a connecting flight, and we were walking the hallway, and out of the corner of my eye, I see someone. And I see one of my favorite hockey players. He plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And everybody said, amen. Just love me, love me. Big win. So out of the corner of my eye, I see him. And I immediately bow down and bring my... No, I immediately go over and say hi, of course. And I said, hey, and I'm Mike, as if he needed to know. And he introduced himself, and as if I, didn't already know. I knew him for years. And so I say hi, and we talk, and I give my camera to my wife to take a picture of us. And so the picture will be behind me. And so she takes the camera and takes a picture. His name is James Reimer. He played goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs a few years ago. And so then I said my goodbyes, he said goodbye, I said good luck in the next season, and we went off. And then as we walked away, Carissa kind of looked at me weird. First she asked, who is that? But then she said, did you just tell him you loved him? I said, I'm sorry, like what? She said, you just told him you loved him. You haven't even told me today. No. So apparently, as I would say goodbye to someone who I've known for years and maybe went to high school with or a very close friend, I said goodbye this way. I said, love you, bud. Which, to an old friend is quite usual, but to someone who don't know you, it could be very off-putting. I've tried to apologize several times via Twitter, but I've gotten blocked and a restraining order, but I got his autograph. Just kidding. So that was quite an unusual instance. So sometimes I do get starstruck. But there's something, people often say, never meet your heroes. You'll either disappoint them, like I feel like I did, or they'll disappoint you. As if, the person or character depicted on a screen or in a book is not necessarily the same person you can relate with face to face. I was reading through some of these stories about interactions with celebrities this past week, and many of them were terrible and disappointing, actually. It's quite frightening. But there was this one. Someone shared about boarding a plane, because that's where you see celebrities, boarding a plane and the aisle being quite congested, as if people were stopping when you get on the plane. And they were stopping around the same seat, and so this person was wondering, do they all know this person? Did they all go to high school together? Is this a reunion? But as he got to the seat, he noticed that someone special was sitting in it. It was Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Does anyone know the Fonz? Happy Days? You know, at American sitcom before TVs were invented. It's a little bit past my day, but I got to watch some this week, which is kind of cool. But the Fonz, Henry Winkler, the Fonz is this character. He's, you know, a leather jacket. He's smooth. He's suave and debonair. He, you know, he hits a jukebox and the music starts playing. And so this Henry Winkler, who plays the Fonz, was sitting in the seat. And so this person was just astonished. And he got in his seat. And, of course, he had to wait until their destination to make any interaction further than that. And so they got to their destination, which I think was in LAX, and he got off the plane. He walks off the plane, and he's looking for Henry Winkler somewhere in near the gate, and he can't find him. So this person checks the bathrooms, which I was kind of a little bit weirded out at this point, but I kept reading. Checks around, but all of a sudden saw him at the corner of his eye. Henry Winkler was around, and there was a crowd gathered around him, as you would see a celebrity. And off in the distance, a little bit to the side, was this older lady. She was clearly awestruck of Henry Winkler standing near her, but she was afraid and timid. She was off to the side, just kind of like observing and seeing and admiring, and that was quite strange. But then Henry Winkler peers through the crowd, and he goes over and approaches this older lady. And he says something so profound. He says to this older lady, "I don't have to be anywhere for a while. Can I sit and talk with you? Can I sit and talk with you?" It's quite crazy when we see that sort of interaction. We're drawn to people who are true, who are real, who we're able to relate with. Someone that is willing to relate with us. There's this warm feeling of acceptance, of invitation, that someone is wanting to relate with us. I think Jesus would have faced the similar reactions throughout the Gospels. As you probably know, Zacchaeus, someone who was up in a tree observing Jesus from a distance as Jesus was around the crowd. You know, someone who was just kind of seeing what's happening, maybe a little bit afraid or intimidated to approach, or maybe even unable to approach. But Jesus gives Zacchaeus his full attention. And he says, "Zacchaeus, I must be a guest in your house today." How incredible. Or the woman who was going to be stoned for committing adultery was placed before Jesus by the people, ready for Jesus to condemn her, to point out her sins, to maybe even pick up a stone and throw at her. But Jesus instead looked at this lady on the ground, covered with dust, and said, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." Or there's also a part in the Gospels where it shares of children climbing on Jesus like he's a mall Santa Claus. And the disciples getting so frustrated and worked up because they're taking Jesus' time. And Jesus says, "No, no, no, stop. These children are awesome. For the kingdom of God belongs to people like these." And there's also another one where a woman is in a crowd. And she is desperate. She has, you know, she's ill internally. She has no other hope. And she just reaches out and grasps Jesus' robe. And Jesus, in the midst of the crowd, could have ignored it. But stopped and looked at her and affirmed her. And said, "Daughter, you are healed. Go in peace. Go in peace." We reflected a little bit on peace this morning in our songs and our Advent reading. Go in peace. So this is what Jesus was like. You may read and you may listen to these stories. You may, you know it very clearly, but there may be a bit of skepticism. As if, yes, that is Jesus, but what does that even mean for me now and today? How would God relate with me today? How can I even comprehend who God is? What do I even have to offer him? That these stories are cute, maybe they're great flannel graphs or coloring pages, but what else beyond that? What does it mean for me today? That maybe even the nativity scene is a great Christmas decoration, but it's just that. Jesus on paper seems nice, but how would he relate with me today in my situation? I've wondered that a few times. You might even feel timid or shy. You may push back. You may withdraw. You may be like, you know what? I don't even have anything to offer him. So why does it even matter? But I can tell you this. Jesus would have nothing more, he'd want nothing more to simply sit here and talk with you. To simply sit here and talk with you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was full of grace and truth. And for from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. I like the Christmas carol. There's one Christmas carol I can play on the piano, and it involves one finger, and you can just go down the keys. Does anyone know it? That's right. It's Joy to the World. It's the only one I can play. But I love the verse there where it says, "He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love." And the wonders of his love. And the wonders of his love. You get it. You see, the beauty of truth and grace is that they're in their fullness when they work together. They're in their fullness when they're completely together. That some would say God's love is expressed to us through his grace and also his truth. That each working 100%, 100% of the time. There's no 50-50. That this is indeed how God would relate to us and how he continues to relate with us. That Jesus, being full of grace, means that there's unconditional favor, an unconditional acceptance, that it's unearned, it's free, and it doesn't need to be paid back. That's my kind of deal. Black Friday Jesus. I don't know. That it's generous. It's initiated by him. It's the same grace that's spoke of in Acts 15, that we believe we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. That Jesus, being full of truth, means that he's sincere, he's reliable, he's faithful to the very end. That Jesus, in fact, loves what is true. That is not fluffy, or he's not about flattery. He leaves flattery in the dust. That Jesus is not full of hot air. He's not making empty promises, but he's actually putting his life on it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So from a distance, you may see Jesus. You may see and read all the stories, and you may say, yes, you know what? The grace is there. He was very gracious towards people. But you may not be sure he is full of truth, that his promises for you aren't true. Or vice versa. You may see that Jesus, yes, is full of truth. What he said was true, and he is truly the Son of God. But maybe that his grace is a little bit out of reach for you as an individual. That maybe you can't attain his grace, that it's not for you. You see, they don't work separately. They're always together, and here's why. Because grace without truth is cheap. It's ignorant. It looks wonderful on the surface, but there's really no substance to it. That, it's fluffy, it's ambiguous, we're not really sure, but it looks shiny. Whereas truth without grace is harsh. It's unloving. It can be seen as judgmental. It longs to put you in your place and to leave you there. But Jesus is full of both grace and truth, relating with us out of both all the time. And this points to this tremendous depth of Jesus' presence on earth, one that changed history. Colossians says that Christ existed before anything else and holds all creation together. That by Jesus making his home among us, he actually kept creation from unraveling. that he makes his home among us and begins to redecorate humanity with the things God has promised and how he promised to relate with us. That he begins to intertwine the idea and the longing to forgive, but also the ability to make us right in his sight. That he didn't do this with power or position or by flattery or force, but instead he did this as a baby, coming as a baby, as humble, as meek, as mild as a baby. That he came by offering grace and extending it to those who need it. And he also came to speak truth to those who would hear and listen. He showed us both grace and truth on the cross. The truth being that we have sin, we fall short of the glory of God, and that that sin needs to be paid for. But then his grace extends that by God's grace, he said, I'll pay that. I'll take that payment on myself. You see, he looks at the messiness in my life and in your life, and Jesus isn't pushed away by it. Instead, he wants to embrace it and to make it right. That fully man, fully God, this is who he's always been, and this is how he always has related with us. That he indeed celebrates you. He's not skeptical towards you. He's not trying to set you up so that you fail, but has your best interests in mind. That he doesn't pull away, but invites you to draw close to him. See, it's one thing to know this, and it's another thing to know this and to experience it. For from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And we're still receiving grace upon grace. Maybe in your own story, you can really pinpoint how you've received grace upon grace. I was in a coffee shop earlier this week, and I had a chance to sit down with another pastor from the E-Free Church just down the road. And we were just sharing and celebrating, and he was saying about the cool things that God is doing in his church and in their prayer meetings especially, how people are hearing things from God in a new way, that those who may have never stepped out to really listen to the voice of God are hearing the voice of God. And that God, the voice of God is working, and the Holy Spirit is working in amongst them in those prayer evenings. We would say the same thing here of our worship evenings or in life groups, how God is relating with us with such truth and grace, that he doesn't pass us by, but he's attentive to us. We just finished Alpha, and it was really cool hearing about some of the feedback from some of the guests. Some pointed that they went to Alpha really lost and searching for something, but left after the 9 weeks, and God is just working in their life, and they feel connected. They feel like they found a God who wants to relate with them. There was another person who attended that going into Alpha, they really felt alone, like there was no one in their corner, no one on their side, but left feeling like they have found people who would love and support them, but also a God who cares and wants to be with them. This isn't about Alpha. This is about God and how he works in our lives. I know in my life I've experienced truth where there's been seasons, and maybe you can relate, where I felt like my identity is just going from here to there, where I would take things and embed them in my heart that were just complete lies and would impact how I see myself and also how it would impact to see other people, where it would just pull me down. But yet, through God's grace, I was able to just stop and pray after a season of learning and just say, Holy Spirit, would you speak truth directly to my heart? And the lies that try to get to my heart, would you just filter out? Incredible. I was also able to experience a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know if you've experienced that in your life. I remember a time in my life facing tragedy. And then in one moment where I thought I would crumble as I prepared for it, I approached that moment smiling, not under my own strength, but under the peace that God had given me in that moment. God is eager to pour this peace, this grace, his truth. He's longing to lavish that on you, not as a group of people, as a crowd, but as an individual with an individual circumstance. You can experience it too. There's a hunger to know who God is and how he relates with us. That the fullness of Jesus making his home among us was tangibly bringing God's character to earth right in front of our eyes. And that now, even in our day to day, the Holy Spirit is making his home in us daily. That the fullness of God is right in front of us daily and consistently. That it would never leave us or never abandon us. Maybe you can attest to how the Holy Spirit has poured God's grace and truth on your life. John writes that the Holy Spirit will never leave you or abandon you. That he is the one who leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit isn't someone to be intimidated by or to feel like you will disappoint or that he'll disappoint you. He's our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. We shouldn't be afraid of our comforter. He is our advocate, always faithful, always in our corner. And this is our God, continually offering us his grace and his truth. You may come here this morning feeling like Zacchaeus, just seeing God, seeing Jesus from a distance, observing, see if it's safe and okay. I can tell you that Jesus wants to give you his 100% attention. He wants to be a guest in your house today. You may feel like the woman who needed healing, so desperate, not sure what to do, maybe even hopeless, but that you can reach out to Jesus and he won't shrug you off in a crowd, but he'll actually affirm you, call you son, call you daughter, and say, go in peace. You may feel like your life is too messy, that just sin is just everywhere in your life, and that Jesus wants nothing to do with you because of what you've done or what you did. I can tell you, Jesus will embrace you. He'll embrace the messiness. He won't leave it that way. He wants to make it right. But he will say, I do not condemn you. Go in peace. Or you may see all the kids in this season, as we're going to see here shortly, and wonder, you know, what's this fluffiness of Christmas about with a little manger and some hay? But these are the people that the kingdom of God belongs to. Childlike faith. Childlike celebration of the season. And we're excited to hear from our kids and participate in that childlike celebration. Because it's good to be a kid again sometime. So what do we do with this now that we've, you know, seen God's grace and his truth? Well, maybe this may look a bit more pointed to you and unique to you, but a couple thoughts. Maybe you need to accept the invitation from Jesus to simply sit and talk with him. He's eager to do so. Maybe in a new way, or even for the first time, you need to receive this grace and this truth, because that's how God relates with us. Or maybe you need to seek the fullness of God like you've never before through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never leave you or abandon you. This is the goodness of God. This is how he relates with you and with me. Can we stand together and pray? Jesus, full of grace and full of truth, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you that you embrace us like we are, that you relate with us with such marvelous love. So Jesus, as we celebrate together with kids and as we celebrate in singing and some narration, would you point it to you, God, that we may see and know your character and your love for us almost tangibly? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.